Legislature/Finance Committee meeting for November 22nd, 2011, to order, please. Currently present, Council President Kovak, Councilman Street, Councilman Hollins, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Diller, Councilman Retta. I've been informed in advance that Councilman Sheldon will not be joining us, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick may be a little bit late. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of the Finance Committee. Tara, and we still haven't established her last name yet since she's gotten married, so Tara will be taking the minutes. Miss Tara, I guess we can go with, although it makes you sound a lot older. We'll go with Miss Tara.
Motion on the minutes.
So, is motion on the minutes, is there a second?
Second.
Is a motion second? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the minutes have been duly approved.
Thank you.
Okay, with council's indulgence, first, and I'd like to recognize that we have State Representative Melanie George has joined us. Also a newlywed, so I'm not sure what that last name is either. I'll stay with George, since your emails seem to work when you leave it that way. With council's indulgence, I would like to discuss R11-1, excuse me, I got new glasses and they are not working, 189, and Ordinance 11-107, which are companion pieces. I'd like to discuss those at the same time, since we do have guests here who may wish to speak to them. First, R11-189, under my sponsorship, along with Councilman Cartier and Councilman Weiner, amend the capital program, appropriate $62,500 of, and this is important, DelDOT community transportation funding for the general paving project for Concord Soccer Field parking area sections 1 and 2. And as we know, what the resolution does is it appropriates those funds into our budget. And then Ordinance 11-107 amends the capital budget to actually increase the appropriations by the $62,500 of DelDOT Community Transportation Funds for the general paving project for Concord Soccer Field parking areas Section 1 and Section 2. Councilwoman Kilpatrick has joined us, duly noted. So those are the two before us. As you can see, it is not county funds, they are state funds, for purposes of repaving parking areas 1 and 2. Yes. And just clear the air, anyone wishing to speak, just get acknowledged, identify yourself for the record, and then speak until we ask you to sit back down.
You're up. Smiley exceptionally presented the case for this resolution of ordinance. It's a pass-through, $62,500 to community transportation funds. The only way that the state will do the projects is through another government entity, which is us. Concord Soccer used our vendor. We monitor the process, and we inspect the process, and they're good tenants, and we would ask you to support this.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Councilman Weiner, then Council President Kovac.
Yes, I'd like to thank the two co-chairs for permitting me to join, as this Concord Soccer Association is in my district, and I'd worked long and hard to convert the Channon School Elementary School, with the support of my fellow state legislators, from an asbestos-ridden, rotting school to now a productive Concord Soccer Association field. Just a couple questions. I know our friends at the Concord Soccer Association wanted to, sort of as a fundraising device, name our, what would be our county street or our state street, a name after one of their contributors. And I think the response was, I was just sort of catching these emails going back and forth, that the county was preserving its own prerogative, and the league couldn't usurp that right on naming. Do you remember what happened on that?
Not recently. A while ago, there was an issue where the previous leadership of the soccer club, that they wanted to name the field.
Yes. Oh, that was the field.
That hasn't occurred because we're trying to get the parking lot paid first.
Okay. Are you here with the league?
I'm the president of Concord Soccer.
And your name? Your name?
Bill. Last name is Yemps, Y-E-M-C.
Pleased to meet you. I'm your councilman.
Still in discussion as to the appropriate spelling of my name, once we get that worked out.
Right. How do you spell your last name?
Y-E-M-C.
Very good, thank you. Thank you. And because it's a county park, it's a state park, which has been leased to the county and then subleased, right, just like we did with Taliaferro Girls Softball League. And because of that, the county has a process of naming roads, working with various entities required under law as to where we name. But were you intending to name that street in there?
It's not actually a street. If we're going to go for naming of anything, we'd name the fields or name the park in addition to whatever county signs are required. We're working with Bob Merrill on that. And then we kind of backburner that because...
Okay.
Excuse me, maybe we could have added another special service.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about naming the parking lot. That's relevant today. But I understand.
Great. Well, I got my answer.
Yeah. We're not on that yet.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just had a question for the proponents, for the folks from Concord Soccer Association. It's not just the parking lot that you're putting in there, is it? It's really, you know, if you could describe more fully the other purposes of that paved lot.
One of the really great things that we're excited about the parking lot is we do power chair soccer for kids in wheelchairs. And when you do it on grass, it's not very user-friendly to a power chair. And so as part of the parking lot, we've kind of put on a top soccer field in the back part of the lot. And usually on Saturdays at 3 o'clock, we have between 10 and 15 kids who come up to play soccer who have special needs. And so we're hoping with now having a parking space with a field on it that can be used by power chair, will attract even more players from around the state to utilize this facility. It's been really a great thing, and we try to partner each kid with special needs with someone from the club, so the young kids in the representative team and in the play soccer for the teams of work with the disabled folks. And it's a really win-win for everyone. So it's been a great program, and we hope to increase usage in that.
Thank you very much. I personally appreciate the Concord Soccer's commitment to not only able-bodied young athletes, but also those with physical disabilities. So thank you.
With record show, Councilman Bell has joined us. Are there any other questions or any comments? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are these fields for the exclusive use of Concord Soccer?
Right now, we're actually allowing Concord High School to play all of their girls' soccer games this fall because they were redoing their fields. And so I think we haven't really been officially open yet because we don't have a permanent certificate of occupancy. Having the parking lot done is one of the last things. We've got to work with DenRec to complete our retention pond. And then I think, you know, our sublease does permit other folks to come in when Concord Soccer is not having games and practice.
And how long is the lease?
20 years.
That's the question, because there are other requests for uses of fields, and I think that we need to be mindful of that. We've been approached about lacrosse fields, for example, and have been told that the county won't provide or unwilling to provide for kids that are interested in lacrosse. And it just makes me wonder, and I have to talk to you further about it later, but if we have fields that we're going to give exclusive use to going forward, it means that first come, first serve, and all the fields are taken for 20-year periods of time, and we are essentially excluding a group of people that would like to have access to our fields as well.
All the fields, when not being used by the primary tenant, are to be open and used by essentially for pickup. That's been an issue.
Can you speak up a little bit, Wayne, and your name, please?
Wayne Merritt, Special Services. All of the fields that we have on all of our lease tenants for all those fields recognize that when they are not using those fields are open to the public. I mean, there are restrictions to even things that I think, but it's very clear in our lease agreements that if the fields are not being occupied by the tenants for their purposes, times when they're fields are free, they are open to the public.
I think that needs to be spelled out a little bit further in terms of the percentage of time that there could be public access. I mean, a league could determine that the use should be all primarily theirs, and if it is, you know, what are those times and what kind of time may be left for public use. I guess I just get concerned when public dollars are really pretty much dominated by any particular group, whether it be lacrosse, soccer, or whomever, that there's no access for other public uses. So I need to talk to you about this further.
Excuse me, identify yourself for the record.
Bill Young. The club has put, through volunteer fundraising, over $1 million into these fields. So it's not just public funds.
Sure, and I realize that relationship, and again, it's just the fact that there needs to be further discussion around it, because there are opportunities for certain groups to provide that kind of a matching fund, and there's obviously not the opportunity for every group. So it should not be just based upon who has the most to offer. It should be also a percentage of time for the public, no matter what they can afford. But I appreciate what you have done at Concord. I'm pretty much familiar with that.
And I just want to clarify, when we do lease, the leasee, they're responsible for the maintenance and capital as well. Okay, President Kovac.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Chair. And being a little familiar with this project, I just want to clarify for the record, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think these were pre-existing fields or any usable space at all. That the Soccer Association itself came in and made, with their own funds, no county funds, came in and made them usable fields. So it's not that, you know, I guess the county's picking winners and losers as far as athletic activities. There was a school that had shut down, and they made that available so that the Concord Soccer could come in and turn it into a soccer field and a complex that then other people could use. So
I'm aware of that history going back with the state when we first were approached by that, but my concern remains the same, that we have to make certain whether state dollars or county dollars, these are still public funds.
Josh McCartier.
And a point of clarification on that fact, I think the state government provided the demolition funds for the Channon School, and then the subsequent lease arrangements were reached in the course of events. But it was made available as an athletic field through state government funding.
The only clarification I'll make before we move on, when we talk about the state providing funds, county providing funds, we, the state, we're the conduit for the taxpayer funds. We're not printing money. So it all comes through. So in the end, it's taxpayers that are helping to support everything that we do. And I think we need to just not lose sight of that. All right, anything further from any members of council? Councilman Street.
I just want to throw my little two cents in, and I want to stay out of it by the same token. All fields can't be used for all uses. And, you know, if you've got a lot of concern about field usage and what particular sport is utilized on those fields. And all I'm saying is, in doing whatever we're going to do, that has to be considered as part and parcel too, because you can't have a field designated for one particular use and then allowed to be used for another kind of use, and it end up destroying the field and the turf, because the uses are not the same.
Fortunately for us today, with this resolution and ordinance, we're dealing with asphalt. We're in good shape. Anything, any other members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, next on the agenda, substitute 1 to R11190 to reinstate the council grant program to authorize the transfer of $97,500 from the council contingency fund to the council grants line. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. R11-190 proposes to take $97,500 from our contingency of $200,000, an existing budget line item, to divide it equally among 13 members of council and reinstate in part the council grant program that council gave up in the shared austerity of the financial crisis going on in the 2008 timeframe. And I think this reflects the concern of many members of council that this truly vicious recession continues to go on. We have many worthy groups and causes in our districts and throughout the county that deserve some funding from this council to help them, give quality to life to the communities that they serve, and I think this speaks to that issue. And again, I just wanted to restate that this comes out of an existing budget line. This is not new funding. we're taking this out of an existing budget line, and we'll monitor our contingency funds as the year progresses to see if additional funds can be made available for other good causes.
Thank you, Councilman. I just need to clarify two things on the record. One, we're discussing substitute number one to the resolution, and two, the council contingency is not a budget line. It does not appear in county council's budget. It never has. It just says the administrative contingency doesn't appear in that budget either. So we just clarify those two. But yeah, we're substitute one is what's before us, and I think it was just a word change, just so we have everything in line. President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Councilman Cartier, there had been some discussion that I recall about, since this was a contingency fund for this fiscal year, mm-hmm. about waiting until the end of the fiscal year for the end of the contingency period and then making those funds available after that point. I didn't see anything in this resolution that had addressed that or was addressing that. So I didn't know if that was, is a possibility, if on the last day of the fiscal year, if those funds are left over, if those can be utilized in the and appropriated at that point.
I'd just like to respond. In the course of discussion, my understanding was council members wanted to enable this partial funding of the grants program to take place in a quick time frame, with the understanding that going through the year, we would monitor this contingency fund, and if at the end that we had some funds left over that we could perhaps contemplate doing what the council president suggested and going forward expending those funds. I recall in the last fiscal year, at the end of it, we funded a summer employment grant. So I think that was the will of council and the discussion that I chaired, that we would adopt this, move the council grant program forward, understanding we've suspended this program now for 2 to 3 budget cycles, and certainly contributed through wage concessions in this body to the overall shared austerity in the county.
Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes. If you remember last year, we cannot technically do this at the last minute. We have to have those funds obligated. And so the reason we could not add more funds to the summer employment program is that we couldn't obligate those funds past a certain date, and we couldn't obligate over a certain amount. So, you know, if we're going to obligate funds, we have to do it in a timely fashion, according to the fiscal regulations that we follow. And we certainly cannot do this at the last minute. You can't do it on the last day. This is not the state legislature. This is county council.
Okay.
Right.
Councilman Hollins and then President Kovac.
Did you want to respond?
Again, Councilman, I didn't mean to imply that there's any agreement on that suggestion, but I recall that being discussed, and while we maybe can't do it on the last day, I mean, I have serious reservation about spending the contingency fund, you know, until closer to the end or whenever that last day we could dedicate those funds. I understand the argument on the other side. I happen to be on the other side of the issue. I don't think I could support this, just because if we do have a contingency arise before the end of the year, I'd be concerned those funds wouldn't be available.
I would like to respond to that, but Councilman Hollins. That point's well taken. We did this with the understanding of a historical perspective on how the contingency funds have been utilized. And it was a feeling of council that in that discussion that we would have active contingency funds available to meet whatever challenges we would foresee given the history of the use of those funds. So I felt confident advancing this forward.
Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support reinstating a portion of the grants fund, as I mentioned before. I believe it brings added value to the quality of life for a lot of the struggling nonprofits that serve smaller communities or communities in a much smaller fashion. And I just happened to notice in the paper just last week that Sussex County gives $140,000 to various community agencies. The largest check was $6,000 for Meals on Wheels, but most groups receive between $500 and $2,000, a similar program. But the interesting point is that in Sussex County, there's only 197,000 residents, and they're actually budgeting 140,000. In Newcastle County, we have 543,000 residents, and we're talking about 97,000. So I just think that the need here in Newcastle County is just as great in certain areas as it is in Sussex County. And we stopped it suddenly, and I think we're gradually trying to get back to it. And I think it's a reasonable thing to do, and I think the communities deserve it. It's, in a lot of cases, it's but for money. They wouldn't be able to do certain things but for these small grants.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Can I just have a question or two? What normally would come out of our contingency fund that we need to make sure that we have?
Unforeseen legal expenses, that's usually the main criteria that, okay. That we would have. I would ask the policy advisor if he has anything to add to that, but that overwhelmingly that's what it has been there for, is unforeseen legal expenses.
Jim Wilson, policy director. What we paid for in the past, okay, normally, as it states in the report, we normally have not paid over $100,000. Again, as Councilman Smiley said, it's unusual circumstances. And a couple years ago, for instance, because of a lawsuit with a former county employee, we ended up paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 in legal fees. At one point, we paid for special elections. That has been taken care of. Sometime, you know, I believe, what do you call it? The republication of the code has paid for out of the contingency. It's those things that basically are the unknowns in an annual budget.
Can I follow up?
Yes.
Okay, so we have $200,000 in this line, basically, and we want to use $100,000, essentially, for this. So next year, what happens to this line? I mean, we have to up it to get to the grant money and keep the 200?
I will jump in here, and yes, that will be up to this council. We will have to decide whether, if this is going to remain a part of the budget, we would have to decide whether to increase, put it in as a line item in our budget and maintain a reduced contingency or increase the contingency as well.
And what was it in previous years when you had grants? How did they?
They were part of council's budget. They did not.
You had a separate line, and you had your contingency.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Warren.
Thank you. Just to add to the answer that Jim Boyle gave, which I concur with, we used to also have an expense with the Wilmington Convention and Visitors Bureau where we paid. Half, we matched the county executive. County executive's office would pay $15,000 and we would pay $15,000 for $30,000. We discontinued that. I think the county executive, at least for a couple years, and may still make a contribution. There's a board which has three governments on it. Board members, two city, two state, and two county board members. And for years, I know Dick Cecil had served as one of the two council board members on that. Another reason for it would be if a particular council member had the need to go outside of the law department and council to council's department in order to get a separate legal opinion. And in fact, I believe one of the council members sitting here had done that at one time. And then also, just to be aware, the reason why the council to council was established historically in part was there can be situations where even though the county attorney represents council, where a separate an equal branch of government, and there can be conflicts, and they may exceed the ability and time of our law department, our council law department staff. So these funds provide that that fund for us to go out and get private legal counsel, much like the law department does from time to time.
In short, it's expenses that may arise that are non day-to-day operational expenses of county council. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, I wholeheartedly support the reinstatement of the partial grant funding. I think when we talk about contingencies and we talk about unforeseen, who would have ever thought 3 or 4 years ago that this country or our county would be in the economic state that it is today? And when we talk about unforeseens, I think we have to look at the fact that nothing's gotten much better. And in fact, I think that we all see it day in and day out, that it looks like things may in fact get much worse. We've got folks that I think look towards this council in past years, whether it be, and I'll use an example, the Holy Spirit Rose Hill Community Food Closet, where folks rely on trying to have some sort of funding from the community, from government. The community funding, as we know, is not as adequate as what it was before because of the economics that are driving. And so I think when you look at various food banks, food closets, we've been asked in our own district about, are there any homeless shelters? Are there any soup kitchens? Are there anything that this government, working in cooperation with the community, can provide because of the hardships of the people that the tough economics has fallen on? I've personally visited, and Councilman Street have personally visited, the Rose Hill Community Food Closet. We see folks in line that, you know, are military vets. We see folks in line that have nothing to give back. When we talk about our employees and everything, and I think that it's a good point that employees, including ourselves, have given back 2.5%. But we're very fortunate and blessed to be able to even do that, because many of our folks don't have that ability right now because they're out of work. They have no income. And in some cases, have a very difficult time in putting food on their table. So I think this is very justifiable. I think that it's part and parcel of our responsibility to try to work hand in hand with our communities. So that's where I stand.
I recognize Councilman Sheldon is here, and I as well visited Rose Hill, as I have many others. And when I visit, I also bring my personal contributions to them. Is there anything further from council on this? Anything from the public? Okay, before we move off topic, I don't want to go off agenda, so I would make a suggestion, possibly under other, if a council member wants to bring it up, is I think it would be prudent for this council, and I think it would be appropriate since it is listed in the resolution, that before addressing this on the floor of council and voting it tonight, my personal preference would be, although you know I'm not going to support it, would be that the revised rules be adopted, and I believe that could be brought forward under other, since it is listed in the resolution. But I'm not making a motion. I'll leave that to council, just something to ponder as we move forward.
Question.
Yeah.
What are the revised rules? How are they different?
They were distributed. One of the things was, financial advisor was removed from every spot where financial advisor was. Clerk of council was put in. These are, I can tell you, ones that I brought forward to the attention to make sure they were correct. Another thing was, there was still a paragraph in the rules that provided for a separate fund for council president to buy tickets and such. That paragraph was removed because there was no, if you leave it in, it called for it to be funded. There was no discussion and no additional funds for funding, so that was removed. So they were streamlined.
Was there anything else?
I mean, I know they were distributed and put out. But I believe those were, those are the ones that basically it was cleanup changes.
And I understand, but just in an abundance of caution, because it's difficult to read a set of rules and then to understand exactly how they're different from the others, I'd like to have a presentation on how the changes are different from the original ones so that we know, because you know, I look at the rules not as carefully as I should have, but I can't tell you what the changes were from reading the new set.
I just know because I did sit and match the two, and and really financial advisor was the first thing that jumped out at me.
Okay.
Councilman Cartier.
Point of clarification, these are the rules governing the council grants program.
Yes, that's all. It's just the grants portion. It's not the law. But that's all.
Jim Boyle, policy director. The rules were sent out twice. There was a small change on the second one. All the changes are either underlined or bracketed on the rules that were sent out.
But it's just, like I said, it was just a suggestion.
On Rule 13, which is the grants.
Well, what other changes on the grants from the current rules?
The only major changes is that in this particular case, the clerk of council and I are partners in the grants. I provide the money, and she basically distributes the money. So went from financial advisor to clerk of council, and it took out that one grant fund, what was eliminated years ago, and that's basically the highlights right there.
Okay, there was some discussion about strictly being a 501c3. I know Councilman Street had raised that concern. I just wanted to know.
The original rule stated it had to be a 501c3 or comparable nonprofit, such as a 501c4, which I believe most civic associations are. That rule stays, as stated, is that everything should have to be a nonprofit.
Okay, and would like a boosters program still qualify?
In most cases, the booster programs from, you know, for instance, let's say it's a band boosters program at McCain High School, is normally a separate 501c3. I was a 501c3 or comparable, that's the rules. They were the original rules.
Okay, I just want to understand what it is in toto we're changing, what the rules are.
Well, I would suggest, like I said, I haven't put a motion on the floor. I have no intention to put a motion. I just threw it out there. I just thought that, you know, it would be the right thing to do. We get through the meeting, your time in between meetings before the exec committee meeting where individuals can look at it. If they feel comfortable, bring it up then.
I'd rather have a presentation. I'd feel much better if we have a presentation.
That's entirely up to council. Anyway, but the rule should be in place. Okay, President Kovac. Maybe we can move on.
Thank you. I'll make this quick then, Mr. Chair. I fully support your statement and the rationale that if we do need to change the rules to be consistent, to do that as quickly as possible. However, we've had extensive discussions with our council to council about making sure things are on the agenda, making sure we don't get criticized for not putting things on the agenda and things like that. I would, and correct me if I'm wrong, the sponsor for the legislation, but nobody could apply for this. This wouldn't affect things immediately. There's a process that has to be followed to submit for the grant application, so we would have time to notice the rule change.
Until you adopt the rules, you can't get the money.
Right. Until we adopt the rules or change the rules, we can't use the money. We can't use the money right away. I mean, immediately tomorrow, there's a process that has to be followed. So I would strongly suggest changing the rules, but noticing that rule change. And
I just raised it the way I did because I know there's an urgence to have the monies available. That's all.
I agree with this. We need to change the rules.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Councilman Taggart has joined us. Okay. Is there anything further on substitute one to R11-190? Anything from the public? Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman Powers has joined us. You don't want the hot seat? Okay. I think we got a full, oh, sorry, Councilman Street. I think we got a full house now. All present accounted for.
I'm just disappointed because I picked this fight, thought I'd prevail, and I feel like I'm right back to square one. And I thought I listened to what I thought was the consensus of council at the table we agreed to have, and now it's being, in my opinion, somewhat stonewalled again. I don't like the rule that is limited to 501c3s, but I don't even want to fight about that. The bottom line is, either we're going to do it or we're not. And I'm just continuing to be sad about the fact that, you know, if it's a park, $250,000, no big deal. Bunch of sewer trucks, $400,000, $500,000, no big deal. $97,000 that are going to benefit the least, those of us who have the least and very often need the most. $97,000 is a big deal. I'm saddened by it.
Councilman Shree, I agree. Number one, I think for me, they're all big deals when it comes to expending the funds. I agree with you. I thought there was understanding. I raised the issue of the rules now because I feel it would be unfair and quite disingenuous to me to have us move through council, adopt the resolution, only for a council member to be told next week, we don't have rules in place, so I know you got a grant application, but we can't process it. I have a problem with the rules. I looked at them numerous times. I submitted what I thought needed to be corrected, such as having a financial advisor in there that doesn't exist anymore. So my only purpose behind raising it is try to move the process through as you and I understood other members of council wanted to do. That's Councilman Hollins. It's in no way meant to be a roadblock, but rather to make it work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel this dependent upon the wishes of council, not Penrose, Hollins, or any other councilman. We haven't taken a vote yet. My position is that we do is what I thought we heard. We adopt the resolution, and obviously before we issue any funding, we would have to have rules in place. It doesn't mean that we have to do it the other way around. It doesn't mean that we have to adopt the rules first. As far as I'm concerned, we adopt the resolution, we work on the rules, and we obviously can't give out any money until such time as we have rules to follow. I too have concern with the whole requirement of 501c3. If you were to look at my past history, almost every dime went to some youth organization. And every youth organization does not have a 501c3, 4, whatever. Some of these people were primarily just steppers in the neighborhood trying to get help to get uniforms. So I'm all in favor of removing those impediments to the degree that it's practical and somehow council can use its best judgment. But I don't recall any application coming before council that was something that was questionable because it's still being approved by all of council members. I just don't want to see impediments in front of little groups that do not have the ability to obtain the 501c3 or any of those other kind of government regulations, and therefore they can't compete. So I don't give up. We will take a vote, and if it's the consensus of council, if there's seven people saying that we adopt it, then we adopt it. Obviously, if there's not, we don't. But I'm not throwing in the towel at this point. I'm just not prolonging the conversation.
The only thing I would ask is, we're not going to approve any grants until the December meeting anyway. So I would just hope that whoever has the interest in the rules, in other words, all I'm saying is, I'd like to have the process adopted before they come before us. It's not going to change what I'm going to do, but I still like to be part of a process that works. That's all I'm putting out here. And that's why I did not make a motion. But I put it out there because quite apparently it needed discussion that had not taken place. Councilman Reddit and then Councilman Street.
Thank you. George, you said something that I was going to say about the process and everything. The one thing, I didn't compare all of the rule changes. I went through some of it. I didn't compare it all. The one thing that I'd like to clarify, and if it's still in place, is the paperwork. Everybody has to fill out paperwork that's asking for a grant, and it has to come before this council with the paperwork before we even give them a vote of yes or no. So that's one process that we adopted, and I think I initiated that a while back because there was a grant given to somebody, and there was never any paperwork, never followed up, and then all of a sudden it went to funk after we gave them the money. So this is the paperwork that the procedure that we went through. I just wanted to know, we still have that in place. Am I correct?
The rules required that they complete the application and then come before council.
So that's the other part of the equation of the 501c3 or 4.
Councilman Street, did you want to follow more?
Just in response to the senior councilman's comment, you know, I'm never going to throw in the towel. I'll never stop fighting. But I'm just frustrated having to fight the same, what I feel like the same fight over again, when I thought we actually acted in good faith as a council and reached a consensus, and now here's another 20-minute spin on this. So I'm not going to stop fighting. I'm just frustrated.
Yeah. I
should. Any further on this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Bell.
Just to follow up on that, you know, it almost seems like we're starting to sound more like Washington, D.C. every time I come in here. You know, every time we go to do something, we got to change a rule. Then we got to go back and forth for several weeks to see if we're all going to agree with the rule. This system before wasn't broken. It worked before. We chose to not provide funding for a period of time. And we're looking towards considering to reinstitute part of that funding. The rules worked before. This council reviewed, this council approved, and the funds went to good uses. If there's a mistake made or something's done improperly, then it's up to us to correct them inadequacies. But the fact of the matter is, we had a system in place that worked. I don't know why it wouldn't work again, but I get as equally frustrated at the fact that every time we go to do something, we got to change a rule when it worked. That's my
Bell,
opinion.
Let me clarify for you. Even if we had not ceased the council grants, the rules would have had to have been amended because we no longer have the financial advisor. The rules call for it to be submitted to the financial advisor, to be reviewed by the financial advisor, to be approved by the financial advisor. There's a half a dozen bids. Places in the rules where the financial advisor did the work. We don't have a financial advisor. That would have needed to be corrected. We had a section in there that required for a special account to be funded. We weren't funding that account. So that would have needed. And those were the changes. Those are the changes. They're fundamental process changes to remove financial advisor and put the clerk of council. So even if you've never done away with the grants, those changes needed to be done in the rules. So if someone went and looked at what they had to do, and then they send in an application to a financial advisor, there isn't one. So it's
but
really
can
clarification.
Can I ask you, why is it so complicated when we understand a couple changes that need to be made to clarify how the process will go? Why do we make things so complicated? And we go on and on and on. The need is there now. The need has been there. I just wish that we didn't get into all this.
I don't see it as being complicated.
Well, I see it.
I don't see it as being complicated. Changes were made. I sat down. I compared the new to the old. I looked at what I thought were format changes. Take out financial advisor, put in clerk of council, whoever. I, quite honestly, I'm not confused and I don't find it difficult.
Can we vote on the changes in executive session today?
Well, you don't need an executive session. Okay. An executive committee.
Okay.
That's entirely up to whoever makes a motion somewhere. Councilman Street.
Okay. The way I see the process going now is we're going to have another discussion at a subsequent meeting about the rule. So I'm not going to fire all my errors.
But the resolution can go forward.
Okay. I'm not going to fire all my errors today. I'm just letting everybody know in advance that, one, I do not support the limitation of 501c3 status only. And two, I think that those funds that were available through the president for special projects or whatever is termed, I think that needs to be instated because, quite frankly, when there's certain functions and certain activities and certain organizations that have programs, city supporting them, other officials are supporting them. It's frankly embarrassing to say, well, what's the county doing? Why aren't y'all doing it? And I think that we put that there in the special funds for the president, which had to be agreed upon by all before it was expended, and I think it should be reinstated. Well,
the problem with that is, and Ms. Doolin's here, the problem with that is, at this point in time, is it changes the title to the resolution. So then the resolution can't go forward because the dollar amount is in the title of the resolution. I'd ask counsel to counsel. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. Okay.
And I didn't touch the resolution. I was only looking at the rules.
Well,
I did not touch the resolution at all. I looked at the rules as they would have to comport, to use one of your words, with the resolution. The two would have to comport. Comport is your word. So I had a street moment there. I'm sorry. President Kovac.
Very, very quickly to Councilman Street's issues. I'm not sure that would. I mean, the amount is designated, and the amount per council member is designated. I'm not sure that would necessarily preclude such funding to be allocated for that fund. So if your view would prevail on the rule change, I think that could still be accomplished. Just
yeah, it could be accomplished with another resolution, transferring more money. Councilman Powers.
I mean, any resolution can be amended as long as you have a vote.
When you're changing the title, it requires new advertising.
The financial advisor left well before we were still getting grants. So technically, this should have been done how many years ago? And he left, and we were still getting grants.
I understand.
We functioned for how many years without him?
But it doesn't mean that if you know something's wrong, you don't fix it.
I understand what you're saying.
And all this is a name change.
I'm gonna let it be. And there are several officers of the court here, and they use their terminology. Where we're at now is hyper-technical and it's ridiculous. Because I think we should move on.
For me, I don't care. I'm in the middle of something I'm not going to support no matter which way. Like I said, I'm just looking for the process to work. Anything else from council? Anything from the public? Nice to know at least we're as adamant about state money as we are our own. Next on the agenda, again, let me try to focus here. 11-108, amend the grants budget, appropriate $25,257 in federal funding to the Criminal Justice Council, CJC, reducing homicide and violent crime grant from the New Castle County Police, Councilman Bell or Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, as per title, this would appropriate $25,257 in federal funding to reduce homicide and violence in New Castle County. I think this is important, and again, commend the grant writers and commend the department for the work. And I think it's important because what I don't want to see is we have a backlog and of cold cases, which we don't have now, and I think we're exceeding the standards as it relates to cold cases, and this will help keep us in that good standing, and hopefully it will be utilized for its designated purpose and have its intended effect and impact.
Any questions from any members of council? Questions from the public? Okay, hearing none. I am no JK or L's that I've been made aware of. We are CFO PowerPoint presentation on expenditure of grants awarded to New Castle County for FY 2011.
Thank you. That last ordinance was a good lead way into this presentation. Every year, we send council and executive with the annual report of grants expended. Can we give out the books in the PowerPoint presentation? This report comes to council and gives us a detail of what grants the county was awarded and what they were expended for. So I thought it would be a good idea. I'm not going to go through this book, but we have a high-level presentation of what grant awards we received and how we expended them fiscal year. David, the PowerPoint.
There we go. Okay. This is the PowerPoint.
Okay, can we get that calendar?
Yeah.
Okay. In FY11, we expended roughly $32.7 million in grant funds. Look at it this way. That represents about 20% of the general fund budget. If we woke up tomorrow and we had that grant funding gone, and if we had to say we're going to continue all those programs we received grant funding for, we would require a 30% tax increase to fund all those programs. So we're getting a pretty good deal here. We're receiving this money from the various agencies. Of the 32.7, you'll see up in the top corner, roughly about 27.4 million of the federal money, about 84%. 3.6 million came from the state, and we received about $1.6 million in other money from donations, program interest, interest earnings, reimbursements, county match. So who did this money go to? The number one surprise, community services, received 89% of that funding. Mr. Henry over there. They received roughly $29 million in grants funded and expended last year. Public safety, about 10%, $3.3 million. Land use, about $361,000. County executive and special services received small amounts of money for grant funds last year to expend. Just to look at individual departments real quick. Community services, the majority of their money went to Section 8 they received was spent. The $17.3 million, that went to about 1,824 low-income families in Section 8 were funded through that Section 8 program. Community development block grants, $3.1 million. Neighborhood stabilization, $2.7 million. State aid for libraries, that's the state money we get from libraries for training, for books, staff development, about $2.2 million. Home, another CDNH program, $1.3 million. Emergency shelter, we spent $560,000. The meals program, the city, $493,000. State and local housing programs, youth employment program, that's our summer program. Senior center grants, summer recreation camps. Library friends grant, the various friends group of each library, they were able to raise about $72,000 this year that we expended. And Rocky Museum had about $5,500 of grant funds that they expended last year, for a total of $29 million for community services.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilman Watt.
Thank you. Could you explain where the other comes from on those top four items?
If you look all the way at the bottom, it's either program income.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
My question is more specific. Where did the state and local housing programs money come from?
A lot of that is program income, where $98,000 came from the state, and then in turn, the money was either program income, where we would sell the houses or make repairs.
Sort of recycle.
Right, exactly.
Answer short.
Okay. Thank you.
Land use. Question?
Wait.
Land use expended about $361,000 of money last year, grant money. The majority of that money was from the revolving funds. They have the code enforcement revolving fund. That's the very first item. And the second item was the program we started about 4 or 5 years ago, the top 25 properties. And again, that's the revolving type of program. They also received some minor money for historic preservation, FEMA floodplain. Some dust monitoring at a specific site, and then that eradicate that we get from the state of Delaware. Public safety. The majority of the money they received, $1.2 million, is from emergency management. That's the Dave Carpenter's group section. They get about $1.3 million from the various sources. Council will see annually the JAG grant program that comes through here, and that's about $646,000. Law enforcement. Last year, we got money from the state for laptop improvements for the police, $557,000. The SLEEF money, $145,000. That's a total, but mostly council will see the smaller grants come before you. And of that $145,000, we bought items like polygraph system, the panda scan, which is a camera type of, that gives a scan of everything going on. There was a prisoner restraint. We bought 30 tasers from that money, and there was also training done with that $145,000. The highway safety grants that you see, the $110,000, again, there were 17 grants in that allotments of money we received in that highway safety grant money you'll see there. A lot of that was for aggressive driving, speed enforcement, DUI, the click it or ticket program. All those various programs were funded through those highway safety grants. You see there's money for aggressive gang enforcement, asset forfeiture, task force grants, various task forces that the FBI received money from. There was a illegal drug enforcement grant, domestic violent advocate, and also the state assistance to local law enforcement, the SALI grants. We received about 10 different grants through the SALI program. Page two is this is the remainder public safety grants that we expended. K-9 mounted patrol, those are donations we received from various people that are used to support those programs. We received federal money for crime, community crime intervention, information outreach, safe streets. The paramedics received donations from various sources, have received money for bilingual victims assistance worker, and then some various small grants for the police academy, the explorers, and the senior roll call program. Again, this, the public safety funneled through them about $3.3 million of grant money was expected next year. In addition to the various programs, the grant money we received also funds positions in this county. We currently have 47.9 positions in this county funded through grants fund. 38.4 in community services, that's a CDNH, various programs. Public safety has about 9.5 positions that are funded through the various grants that we receive. That 9.5 is mostly just for civilian positions, anywhere from the emergency call operator to police accreditation coordinator, law enforcement technicians. As you know, council last week at the council meeting approved six grant-funded police officers that you'll see in next year's presentation be included to that number. So roughly of our roughly 1,400 to 1,500 workforce, about 50 positions are grant-funded in this county. That includes a really high-level presentation of what's included in this booklet, which gives you more detail of every grant. Every council meeting you'll see on your agenda, you'll see there's a grant for $25,000 for a grant, $30,000. I thought this would be a good opportunity to give you an idea of how that all adds up. And something that Councilman Speed always mentions, I like to personally thank the people in the departments that monitor these grants, both programmatically and financially. They make my life easier as far as when it comes to the single audit, when we do the annual audit for the county. And I think they do a great job. There's people out in the field to monitor these grants, both programmatically and financially.
So, President Kovac.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Milwaukee, I have a serious question and a not serious question. I'll ask the not serious question first. Okay. It's the responsibility of the general manager of the departments to ensure that those grants continue. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
No, I mean, in all seriousness, $29 million to the community services is exactly. Vitally important.
Oh, yeah,
for
and I think at the next meeting,
that's right.
The general manager is going to give us an update on the status of the federal funding.
And thank you, and this is a great presentation, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think it's part of the county we always forget about. We always consider our general fund budget, our sewer fund budget. We always forget about our grants budget we receive every year.
And this looks like money that we're getting in from other sources, either the federal, state, and including our matching and our revolving
exactly.
funds that are generated by the programs, the fines or fees. Do we have a similar type, or do we have the ability to put together a similar type of analysis for the money just that's county grants, like that's given out by just the county, like if we're giving a grant or you know, accounting for the grants, like we just allocate, or we're going to vote tonight on allocating $97,000 from the council. You know, do we have an analysis of grants that the executive office has made or has available to be made? I know it's in the budget, buried in the budget. Not buried, I didn't mean that.
No,
term,
I mean,
but it's in the budget.
We have the ability to go far as what detail you ever want to give. And
okay.
We can do that. We can, there's a specific object code in accounting system called grants.
Right.
I mean, we deploy everything that's included in those grants and bring you the detail.
Without creating more work, if it's easy to compile that,
sure.
I'd be very interested to see that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Council's received that before. No. Yeah. Councilman Street. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was just going to say, given the Mr. Henry's next presentation, you might want to bring this with you. I think that would be helpful because it will bring home some of what he's going to be discussing in our next meeting.
Councilman Street.
I'd just like for everybody to take a look at the big picture and how all this fits together. And I know some of you get tired of me saying it, but as long as the problem is this, I'm going to keep saying it. You know, we got folks sleeping on the street in various locations in the city and the county. The missions are full. You got lines as soon as they open their doors, and when they're full, they're full. There's no place for folks to go. If you look at community services and the $17 million in Section 8, what happened with those folks, we don't have that Section 8 money. You got folks, other folks sleeping on the street. The harsh reality is, when you run into hard times and you got nowhere else to turn, that increases significantly the likelihood of you turning to crime to survive. And so all these things, in my view, are directly linked to each other and all have a positive impact with their existence on the quality of life. And one of the things, and I thought I was knowledgeable about things that were going on in the street and so forth and so on, but one of the most compelling presentations to me was the presentation we had on gang. And my better judgment tells me, and I think the colonel and the chief may back me up on this, is when these thugs come in here from other jurisdictions recruiting to do their illicit activity, they ain't primarily recruiting from Chateau country. They're recruiting from low income areas, and they're recruiting young people who have otherwise given up hope. So I just want us to put all this together and see the big picture and the impact of this $30 million overall.
Are there questions, comments from members of council? Councilman Watt.
Yeah, just a comment on Councilman Street's comment. Those of us that have participated in ANCA realize their strength in numbers, and it's been the only reason collectively that we counties have been able to keep this funding. Every year, no matter who the president is, seems to want to slice these budgets. And so I know Councilman Carty and I will be down in Washington, D.C., and I know some of the others have been down there too, but it's important for us to make our presence known.
I just, again, as I said, I think General Manager Henry and Public Safety Director and Chief McLaren do a great job at not only retaining the money, but also looking for new money out there also.
Okay. Further from our members of council, from the public.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anything for the expense of revenue roundtable? None. Before I take a motion, one thing under other, and I'm not looking to discuss it. I mentioned an ATV and dirt bike problem. A request was made. I said I would adhere to it. So all I want to do right now, since all of council is here, is pass out a copy of the language that I'm proposing along with the existing for you to look at, not to discuss today, not that to look at right now, and I will request I will request that it be put on an executive agenda at a later date for discussion. But in the meantime, any suggestions, any ideas, send them to me. With that, Councilman Street.
I just think that we need to look to other places to properly regulate those things that need to be regulated. And there are just certain places that they just shouldn't exist. They shouldn't be allowed. And, you know, I get sick and tired of standing up going somewhere and trying to keep a kid in school who, this is another example, trying to keep a kid in school who brought a BB gun to school, and you act like he brought a cannon, but on the other end, he can walk into a store and buy. And it just doesn't make sense, and this is consistent with that, and I just think that here again, we're the lawmakers, and we should be making laws that are appropriate to within our jurisdiction and limitations and working with others to do the same, because some of this just is ridiculous and doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Anything else under other? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is to do what? You just want me to move?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, so I'm saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
We're back here at 3 o'clock for community service.